Parliamentarians return to the Hill behind me tomorrow. Expect a lively debate on Canada's role against ISIS. The government's on the defensive over Canadian soldiers' self-defense.
And if those guys fire at us, we're going to fire back and we're going to kill them, just like our guys did.
Strong words there from Stephen Harper. The Minister of National Defense attended a high-profile meeting in London Thursday on ISIS and will join me from there. But first, a shocking announcement by the Bank of Canada no one was expecting.
The drop in oil prices is unambiguously negative for the Canadian economy.
The Bank of Canada's key interest rate lowered to below 1%, sending the Canadian dollar down. How much trouble is the Canadian economy in? Canada's finance minister has been attending the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland since Wednesday. A chance to talk about the global economy with other prominent figures, even celebrities and royalty. And Minister Joe Oliver joins me now from Davos. Minister, it's not happy times when the Bank of Canada has to move swiftly to cushion the economy from tumbling oil prices. Will the central bank's rate cut be enough to grease the economy?
Well, the central bank said that it's doing this as an insurance measure in response to the very significant decline in oil prices, and that was their decision. And of course, they act independently of the government of Canada.
But if the economy keeps shedding jobs, are you prepared to throw out your promise to balance the books and start spending on job creation?
Well, there will be jobs created. The various forecasts that we have seen show continued growth in Canada. In fact, it will be superior to that of most of the G7 countries. But the bank has indicated that this precipitous decline in oil prices will have a negative effect on the economy, at least in the short term. And we are, of course, taking account of that in our own decisions.
But are you still head bent on balancing the books, even if the economy gets into worse shape? In other words, have you ruled out stimulus?
No, we're not going to engage in a stimulus program at this point. It's not necessary, and we intend to balance the budget next year. We're comfortable that the Canadian economy is in good shape in spite of this shock. And one of the reasons for that is that we have a solid fiscal situation in Canada. We have half the debt of the average of the G7 countries in relation to our economy. We have a AAA credit rating, and we've experienced more growth than other countries. So ours is a diversified economy, and while one sector has clearly been hurt and some regions of the country are going to suffer, this is a big country with a diversified economy, and as I've said, the impact of lower oil prices will have a lot of positive and negative effects, but we acknowledge that in terms of nominal GDP, there will be a hit, and that will reduce our fiscal flexibility.
Why is it so important to balance the books? The Ontario Premier, for example, says Ottawa and the provinces should be spending billions more on infrastructure to help create jobs.
Well, look, the province of Ontario has suggested we go into deficit to the tune of $34 billion every single year. I mean, we're not going to incur that kind of debt over the next 4 years, $140 billion. This would be precisely the wrong thing to do. We promised Canadians when we were in the depths of the recession that while stimulus was very important to create jobs and economic growth, we intended within a reasonable time frame to balance the budget because it was important. It was important not to pass on debt to our children. It's important to have the solid financial structure so we could respond to international shocks like a decline in oil prices.
Can we expect a stronger focus on manufacturing in the upcoming budget, the budget that's actually being delayed now that the oil industry is on the ropes?
Well, I can't reveal the content of the budget, but you know, manufacturing we believe will benefit from not only lower energy prices, but the impact of lower energy prices on the U.S. economy. The U.S. economy is on a roll. They're going to experience growth in the order of about 3.5% next year, or this fiscal year, and that is going to clearly generate opportunities for manufacturing throughout the country. So there are some positives, obviously, and we will do our part in our policies, but I can't get into the details of the budget.
Well, the lower bank rates are going to likely increase consumer debt, household debt. Are you not worried about that? And particularly, aren't you worried that if people go out and buy more homes and they can't afford it, when interest rates go up, we're going to have a real serious housing crunch on our hands?
Well, right now, you know, increase in interest rates aren't the central focus, but we're monitoring the real estate market, as I've said. We're looking at you know, at the situation. We don't believe that there's a bubble. Neither does the Bank of Canada or the OECD or CMHC. We think if anything, there'll be a soft landing. But we'll keep our eye on this because it's an important issue, obviously.
Now, Minister, do you know anything about the new ruler of Saudi Arabia? Have you ever met him? Do you think there's a possibility he will reverse courses and stop the production and keeping the oil prices so low?
I don't have any information about that. I haven't met him. I have met senior Saudi officials, but you know, that was a little while ago in the context of G20 meetings. But I don't have any knowledge of that. I know that the Saudis are clearly protecting market share, and you know, there are theories that they're trying to drive out high cost producers in the United States. So we're dealing here with a commodity that's, you know, that's obviously influenced by supply and demand considerations. And what happened is the shale revolution in the United States increased supply significantly. In the meantime, global energy demand declined with a decline in global growth. And at a certain point, we hope that global growth will increase and supply may decrease. So the market will determine the price, and we'll just have to see.
Minister, thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
As I mentioned to the finance minister, provincial premiers are also looking for help with their economies. They'll be meeting in Ottawa on Friday to discuss what they want from the government this election year. And Ontario's premier is calling on the Harper government to pump up the economy with more money on bridges, roads, and airports. Joining me now, Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne. So, Premier, your counterparts, the first ministers, are meeting this Friday in Ottawa. What's on the agenda? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, there are a number of issues we've been talking about for a while now. The Canadian Energy Strategy, I know that Premier Couillard is going to want to talk about how we move to the next step. We have worked together with Quebec to get climate change integrated into the draft of the Canadian Energy Strategy, and it's a very important subject for all of us across the country. I'm going to be talking about infrastructure. In my speech this past Tuesday, I talked about the need, I believe, for an economic union in this country, and one of the ways that we can strengthen our economic union is to have a real partnership between the provinces and the federal government on investment in infrastructure. And we'll continue to talk about internal trade, because we are working as premiers to find ways to remove any barriers to trade that might exist within the provinces.
Now, the finance minister seemed to poo-poo this idea of a national infrastructure strategy. He says, you know, Ottawa has committed $70 billion over the next decade to these to infrastructure, including something like $12 billion for Ontario. He seems to think everything is going hunky-dory.
Well, and it's a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. And there have been investments. But when you think that the federal government has committed $75 or so billion over the next 10 years, and Ontario alone has committed $130 billion for infrastructure over the next 10 years, you can see the difference in magnitude. So what I'm saying is that if we're going to have a strong economic union, we have to have a strong energy plan, and we have to have a strong agreement on training, and we have to have a strong agreement on infrastructure, and it has to be adequate. What we know is that if we continue to invest, as provinces and municipalities are, at about 3 to 3.5% of GDP, we'll just maintain our infrastructure. What we need is to bump it up. We need to be building, because if we're building, then we're growing, and if we're investing in infrastructure, we are doing that building. So that's why I'm calling on all of the provinces and all of the leaders of the federal parties to put forward their plans for working towards that kind of infrastructure partnership.
Would you like to see the Prime Minister show up at the meeting?
Well, I've always maintained that it would be a good thing for the Prime Minister to join the Premiers at these meetings. I think that it strengthens the country. He hasn't chosen to do that for some number of years now, but I think it is better for the country if the provinces as a group and the Prime Minister can establish a good working relationship.
He seems to want to do one-on-one meetings. I guess he's concerned that maybe the Premiers will all gang up on him. Does he have a point on that?
Well, that's not how I see it. I think that the longer you leave it in terms of building that relationship, the harder it gets. And I think that the demand builds up. So I, if I were in his shoes, I would want to have regular interactions with the Premiers as a group, because there's a dynamic around the table that I think is very important.
What about the whole issue of what we've seen in plunging oil prices? Is that going to be a major subject of discussion? And I ask you this because Ontario has been hurt by the high oil prices, mm-hmm. our manufacturers, and the high dollar. Now oil and gas prices are falling dramatically. The dollar is down. In some ways, are we not rebalancing the economy in Ontario's favor?
Well, so, you know, one of the reasons I believe that it's important to have a strong economic union, as we've had a strong social union in the past, is that economies go up and down. The prospects of one province at one time are better than the prospects of another province. We are all better off if through all of those ups and downs we can work together. And yes, I'm sure that on Friday there will be a discussion about the fact that oil prices have fallen. That's something that has happened since the last meeting of the Premiers. But that doesn't mean that we can't all continue to advocate for each other and advocate for working together and working with the federal government.
Now, next month, there's the provinces and Aboriginal leaders are going to be meeting on the very hard issue of missing and murdered Aboriginal women. I don't know whether you or yourself will be part of it, but I know you certainly will have a minister.
Absolutely.
There. So far, the First Nations leaders are saying that the federal government has no minister who has been invited have said they will go.
So this is the round table you're talking
yes.
about. My understanding is that there were some federal ministers who had committed, but I don't know. Maybe that hasn't been hasn't been finalized. Well, I hope that they will come. I hope that there will be federal ministers there. There are two parts of this that are important. There will continue to be a call on the part of the Aboriginal leaders, and the provinces have joined in a call for a national inquiry on the missing and murdered Aboriginal women. But at the same time, what we agreed at our meeting with the Aboriginal leaders last summer was that we need an action plan. We need to establish what are the things that we can do to address some of the issues that are prevalent and that we're all aware of in terms of poverty, in terms of education. What are the things that we can be doing to address some of the issues of violence against women in the interim? Because we know that there is a possibility that there won't be a national inquiry, and we need to work in the interim.
Now, we've got a federal election coming in maybe October, maybe earlier. What kind of a role do you see that you will be playing in terms of helping the federal Liberals?
Well, you know, we have a very complementary approaches in terms of our belief about the way the country works and the way the country can work better. So I've worked before and supported Justin. I will continue to do that.
What advice do you give him? Because the Tories are going to say that he's inexperienced, he's not seasoned, particularly during tough economic times, and you know, with the rising threat of Islamic terrorism.
I think that what Justin and what all the leaders have to do, and I called on them Tuesday to do this, is to come up with a plan, is to present a plan to the people of this country that will allow Canadians to see that there's a path forward for our economy, that there's a path forward in terms of our relationships around the world. I think that having the right plan and really having listened to the people of the country will stand.
We're still waiting
will stand
for that
just
plan,
in good
though.
Stead. Well, but the election is, you know, we're on the eve of the election. We haven't had that plan from any of the leaders to date. You know, we haven't seen the plan for economic recovery and for economic growth and progress from any of the leaders, and we look forward to that.
Premier Wynne, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bob.
We'll have more on the Canadian economy with the mayor of the town at the heart of the oil industry coming up later in the show. But first, mission creep or simply self-defense? Is Canada's war against ISIS ramping up? The defense minister joins us from London next on Question Period. Welcome back. It was a rare candid briefing by Canadian generals last week. We learned Canadian soldiers training Iraq's army were attacked by ISIS and they shot back. Was it merely self-defense or has the mission changed?
They came under immediate and effective mortar and machine gun fire.
The military also revealed our special forces are on the front lines, on the ground, using lasers to light up ISIS targets for airstrikes. Something our chief of defense staff told us back in October they wouldn't do.
So they will have nothing to do with that.
Their role was limited to training, he said.
Advise and assist, but not accompany and not engage in direct combat. It's very important that it's Iraqi soldiers who do that.
But on Thursday, a clarification. Lawson said in a statement, "To be clear, the situation on the ground has evolved since I offered those remarks, and we've increased our assistance with respect to targeting airstrikes."
Now that we know Canadian soldiers are involved in combat in Iraq, they're trying to say they might be involved in combat, but it's still not a combat mission.
That mission brought coalition members together in London last week, aiming to unite their efforts in the fight against ISIS.
It demands a coordinated, comprehensive, and enduring global response.
Canada's Defence Minister Rob Nicholson attended the talks in the UK on Thursday, and he joins me now from London. Minister, the Commons returns tomorrow, and the opposition leaders are saying the air war in Iraq has turned into a ground war and that the Prime Minister misled Canadians.
That's completely untrue. We indicated to Parliament that we would advise and assist the Iraqis on the ground, as well that we would have an airstrike force located in Kuwait. This was all approved by Parliament, and that's exactly what's happened.
Well, Minister, your own Chief of the Defence Staff told me in October on this show that Canadian Special Forces would not be on the front line painting targets for coalition missiles, and now we know they are doing that. And on Thursday, Mr. Lawson put out a statement saying, well, the situation has changed.
Well, I think he has clarified exactly what his position is, but the government has been very clear that we are there to help, assist, and advise, and that's exactly what we are doing. And to give you an example, the Canadian forces in the process of working with Iraqi forces were fired upon, and much to the displeasure of the NDP and others, they fired back, and that's exactly what Canadians would expect them to do, and I'm very proud of the role that they are playing. But if you fire on Canadian forces anywhere in this world, they will fire back.
Okay, were the Iraqi soldiers that were with the Canadians, did they not shoot at these ISIS forces, or was it just the Canadians?
I think this was an effort by a whole group of people. My information is that the Canadians fired back when they were fired upon, and I think that all Canadians, quite apart from the opposition parties, would agree that they did the right thing.
Can you tell us how close our special ops are when they paint these targets? Are they really close to the front line? Are they
say, a kilometer or so back?
Well, again, I'm not in the business of pinpointing exactly where our special force